Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And I've used this passage once for a Thanksgiving message, actually, looking back, but that's not really going to be the goal this evening. We're going to focus in on something else here, and actually we'll get into it. I'll explain a little more as we go, but this is going to be the first, I think, of three messages out of this passage, and not necessarily intended as a series. I actually had prepared it as one message and thought this better be three messages or we'll be here a while. But so not necessarily going to be in order, but not three times in a row, but I'm going to come back here three different times and get into the theme that's here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse number 15. He says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Heavenly Father, help us as we take a look at this passage of Scripture that we've read, and even expanding into some of the Scripture around it. I pray that you would take the message from the pages of Scripture and that you would apply it to our hearts and lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And the first part of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul explains really his ministry to the Corinthian believers. There was a lot of confusion there. He had written to them once already, and that's 1 Corinthians. And we know that there was a big division there. Some said, "I am of Paul." Others, "I am of Apollos." Others, "I am of Peter." Others, "I am of Christ." There were these factions that were there, and they were not pleasing to the Lord. And no doubt in those factions, you know, it's amazing how we are. We can never be just for something without making sure that we are against everything that everything else is. And so I'm sure the crowd that was of Apollos, for example, they had all sorts of nasty things to say about the Apostle Paul. And no doubt, you know, what happens is when someone wants to attack someone else, when their actions by themselves can't be attacked, what they do is they start to ascribe motives to their actions, because you can't really see the motive. So you can, "Oh, he's doing this, but he's doing it for his own good. He's doing it for his own gain. He's doing it to get wealthy, or he's doing it to gain notoriety." And no doubt there were those types of things that were present there. And so he writes again, and it appears that in 2 Corinthians by this point they had corrected various things, but he is making clear what his ministry was and what his intentions were. He puts it all kind of in proper context. I think you could go back to chapter 1 and verse number 24. He says, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." He said, "I'm not one who is seeking to have dominion over your faith. I'm a helper of your joy." And he was there not for his own benefit, but he was there to invest his life and his influence into them, that their joy might be helped and that they might be encouraged. And so he rhetorically asked in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" He asked them, he said, "Do I really need to get a reference for you? Do I need to get other people to write on my behalf, or, you know, something where you're commending me?" And he reminded them, no, that they were, in verse number 2, the epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He said, he said to that church, he said, you are my epistle of commendation. You are my record of commendation. And here the reality that was that the Corinthians were being brought to consider that the Apostle Paul spent of himself to invest in them as believers. He had paid a price to do what he did. He did not do this for his own good. In verse 15, where we begin reading, he says, for all things are for your sakes. He says, it was for you. It was on behalf of others, not on behalf of myself. And what would happen is God would get the glory as he invested his life in others. And you know, that's how it works, isn't it? You know, it's not, no Christian minister in any way, whether they're a pastor or a bus worker or a Sunday school teacher or singing a choir or whatever, if they're doing it for the right reason, they're not doing it for their own glory. They're doing it for others. Why? So that God might get the glory. So that God might ultimately be honored for it all. Lest they be mistaken by the motives of his words, Paul made it clear he wasn't looking for their pity. He told them in verse number 9, I mean, you read verse 8 and 9, he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not cast down, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He described some of the things that they had been to, but he likens it in verse number 17 to a light affliction. Look at verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, it is but a small thing. Now, if you read through verses 8 and 9 again, if you know what you know about the Apostle Paul's life, would you consider what he dealt with but a light thing? This man at this point on his first missionary journey, by the way, he took three recorded ones that we know of, and he spent if I was teaching the book of Acts, a fourth one while in prison, still going around and preaching the gospel. On his first one, halfway through his first one, he was beaten and he was stoned and he was left for dead. Now that's not for the faint of heart. And he dealt with that, and here's what he said. He said, it's but our light affliction. It's but a small thing. You know, somebody can look at us a little sideways, and it hurts us so deeply that, think, how could anybody ever bear, you know, this type of persecution? How could anybody ever bear that? Paul got left for dead, and he was stoned to the point of death, and he said, it is but our light affliction. He went on to say, a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We'll talk more about that later, but he realized this, that the harvest was greater than the labor that it took to sow the seed. You know, it's work to sow the seed. It's work to get it into the ground. It's work to get it to taken care of so that it can grow. But the farmer does it because he realizes that the benefit of the harvest far outweighs the labor that was put into cultivating the ground and to taking care of it. Therefore, he called it but his light affliction. The eternal weight of glory would be the resulting glory that God would get through his frail human effort to strengthen the lives of others in this Corinthian church. Amen. Verse 18, which is where we are keying in on here for our theme. Verse 18 might express Paul's philosophy about the life that he was living as much as any other singular verse would. Look at it again. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hey, Lord. I want to preach again three messages on that which is not seen. That is what drove Paul. Amen. He wasn't driven by what he saw. If he was driven by what he saw or what he experienced, he would have quit a long time ago, because he would have said, it's not worth the beatings, it's not worth the imprisonments, it's not worth it's not worth even the brethren speaking out against me. It's not worth the sideways glances I get. It's not worth the false accusations. It's not worth being stoned and left for dead. If he was living for what he saw in the temporal, that's what he would have seen and that's what he would have focused on. But he was able to press on even in very difficult circumstances. Why? Because he understood that that which was not seen was greater than that which is seen. Amen. I think if ever there's a generation of people that need to start reminding ourselves more and more that there is such a thing as that which is not seen, and what we don't see is a lot more important than what we do see. Because it's easy to look around and get discouraged and think, oh my, this is, you know, things are bad or things are terrible or what's going to happen if. Listen, we've got to remember there is something that we cannot see that is far more important and far more weighty than that which we do see. Amen. You know, the world is a master at presenting that which is seen as the most attractive thing possible. But you know what? The one that lives by faith lives for that which is unseen, not that which is seen. Verses 8 through 10, we've already read them, or at least most of them. His daily struggle is described, and he summarized it this way in verse number 10, the persecutions, the distress of verses 8 and 9. He said, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter number 15 and verse 18, he says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Paul lived this out. Paul's affliction in his body was not a surprise, but an expectation. Think about this. It wasn't a surprise, but it was an expectation based on how his Savior had been treated. He looked at it like, they hung my Savior on the cross. They beat him. They spit upon him. They plucked his beard out. They mocked him. They cursed him. They hung him there in open shame. And he endured all that. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Remember Paul's comparison, the eternal weight of glory. Jesus endured all that for the joy that was set before him in Hebrews chapter number 12. And Paul looked at it as, if my Savior suffered that, then who am I to expect any less than that? He felt it an honor to carry that out. Why? Because he realized that that which was unseen is far more important than that which is seen. Paul was able to press forward because of an unseen strength. That's the theme tonight, the unseen strength. I want you to look back to verse number 16. Lord willing, we're going to preach on tonight the unseen strength. The next one out of this passage, we're going to preach on the unseen glory. And then the third one will be the unseen motive. But look at verse number 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. I would imagine that by this point in Paul's ministry, there's nothing that I see from reading even 1st and 2nd Corinthians about how he speaks about his voice compared to his physical presence and knowing what he had been through, there's nothing about this that would suggest to me that he was an imposing physical character at any point. They say that, you know, things, you hear things like you're from time to time, the average CEO in America is like 6'2" or something or taller. You know, and the idea is they carry a presence when they walk into the room and they carry a... Paul wasn't that way. He'd been beaten. He was going to tell these believers later on about a thorn in the flesh that he dealt with. We don't know what that is. We can only speculate what is, but yet he functioned with an unseen strength. He functioned with a strength that did not befit the physical stature that he carried at that point or the physical strength that he carried at that point. But Paul's focus wasn't on the outward man. He says in verse number 16, he says, but though our outward man perish. You know, it's an uncomfortable thing, but it's a reality. Amen. Every one of us in here, the outward man is in the process of perishing in some way. But yet, if we're not careful, we'll live every moment of our day for the pleasing of the outward man. And we'll neglect the real strength that we need, which comes from the inner man. We don't have time to, maybe, and when we speak of the glory or the unseen motive, we might get into chapter 5 a little more, but in chapter 5, he talks about the putting off of a tabernacle. And he's talking about the body of a believer and how that tabernacle is put off. And of course, he's talking about death, but for the believer, he summarizes that in verse 4, as that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Friend, we are living now trapped in a way by our mortality. But Paul talked about, he spoke about an unseen strength here where though the outward man perisheth, but the inward man, he said, is renewed day by day. You see, he functioned on an unseen strength. The life and power of Jesus could strengthen his inner man, even though his physical body might be weak. Amen. I know you're here tonight, you might be tired, you might be weak, you might be sick, there might be somebody struggling with something that no one knows about or that you don't share with anyone, or there might be something like that. But you can still be strong because of an unseen strength that affects the inner man. Those who are seemingly the weakest physically can be the strongest. Why? Because they allow their inner man to be strengthened. We just, it's about basketball season, and you know, we work with these young athletes. It's amazing how strong they are. And I mean, just in their youth, just, you know, make them run, and you can make them run, and it's like some sort of, you know, sick pleasure watching them just, you know, kill themselves, you know, back and forth. But you know, that doesn't last forever, does it? You know, and in our youth, and when we're young people, listen, it's easy to rely on that outward strength and neglect the inner man and neglect the inner strength, neglect the real strength that comes from the Lord. But he says, for which cause we faint not. Are you about to faint this evening? If you are, it has nothing to do with your physical body. Then I'm tempted to quit. It has nothing to do with your physical body. I visited some of the strongest people that I've ever dealt with in my life were flat on their back in a hospital bed somewhere, as strong as a lion. They couldn't get up from where they were at, but they were as strong as a lion. They talk about witnessing the Catholic priest that came in to try to minister to them. And like, well, I don't know. I tried to give them the gospel. I mean, think about that. How many of you are going to walk up to a Catholic priest and go witness to them right now if you see them? But strong as a lion, weak and frail in body, but strong as a lion. Why? Because the inner man was strong. The inner man was renewed day by day. How is your inner man, your inner person this evening? If you're living completely based on the temporal, I'll tell you right now, it's weak. Because as long as things are going well temporally, you'll feel strong. But when things start to go poorly temporally, you know what happens? Immediately we faint, just like he mentioned here. If Paul lived concerned about the approval of society, you know what? His inner man would have been pretty weak. If Paul lived for the optimum of physical comfort and physical health, you know what? Paul would have been pretty weak, but he saw that as the temporal as unimportant when compared to the eternal. Amen. So how do we then renew? He talks about the renewing of the inward man day by day. How do we renew the inward man? How do we renew that inward strength? Well, first of all, renewing of that inner man, renewing of that unseen strength comes from the Word of God. I want you to back up in our passage and look at verse number 13. He says, let me just read verse 12, kind of reminding us of the tone here. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. He's saying, listen, I'm, you know, basically what he's saying is what I'm doing here is killing me. Death is working in me, but life in you. But that work is getting done in you, he said. But then go on to verse number 13. He says, we having the spirit, the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Notice, as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. And that verse there, Paul quotes from Psalm 116 in verse 10. What he left off was, if you were to cross-reference that verse, what he left off of that verse was the last phrase, which was this, I was greatly afflicted. So it says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He left that part of it off. He was telling them that he was greatly afflicted. But he drew strength from the scriptural example that was given him, that though the outward man was afflicted, Paul was renewed by the same spirit of faith that the scripture was written from. Amen. You know, we talk often and rightfully so about the inspiration of scripture. It's God's word, and that's where the focus should always be. But isn't it comforting to know that the same spirit of faith that is here is the same spirit of faith that Paul himself lived by? You know, you can't go back and interview the Apostle Paul, but you can benefit from the same spirit of faith, just like he benefited from the scriptures here, calling upon the scriptures to strengthen the inner man. He was afflicted. What are you supposed to do, Paul, when you're afflicted? I believe, therefore I speak. You know, the scripture will cut through all of our complaints and get right down to exactly what it is that we should be doing. The strength from the inner man comes from, the renewing comes from the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I might preach soon. I've been thinking much recently about faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's something that the scriptures speak of. You say, my faith is weak. Maybe your relationship with the Word of God needs to be strengthened. True. I wonder, do you read it daily? A day-by-day renewal, we're talking about an unseen strength. A day-by-day renewal will spring from a day-by-day reading of the scripture by faith. You know, people have all sorts of different ideas about it. They'll propose, and I'm not trying to propose anything, like how much you should read. You say, well, how much should I read? Should I read a chapter a day? Should I read 10 chapters a day? And there's different people that do it differently. Here is what I'll say. Read until your faith gets what you need from it. That's good. Read until your faith is strengthened. Read it by faith to have your faith strengthened for what it needs for that day. You know, you're not going to be very strong if you close this book and you don't pick it up again until Sunday morning when you come in here for a church service. You say, well, it's a Wednesday night crowd. I know that. I understand that. But I'm talking to the preacher as well. You know, it's easy to get going day by day and subtly get weaker and weaker. Why? Because that unseen strength is fading. Why? Because we're not being renewed by the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, somewhere here, of course, he's writing this, but somewhere along the line, he realized I'm afflicted. And God showed him the book of Psalms, chapter the 116th Psalm in the 10th verse, where it said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And somewhere it got to him, you know what? Even in your affliction, you should do what you're given to do. I don't know how that worked in Paul's life, but he read it and it strengthened him, the inner man. It renewed the inner man. And the Bible said, he said, the inward man is renewed day by day. Has your inward man been renewed today through the scriptures, through God's word? Maybe now he'll get a hold of you from something, but is there something even from earlier today that you read during a time of devotion that stuck with you throughout the day that you could chew on and that you could, as the scripture says, meditate on and that you could take with you to draw strength from? A day-by-day renewal will spring from a day-by-day reading of the Scriptures by faith. Secondly, renewing involves a resetting of principles. Amen. We're talking about developing that unseen strength, that inward man has nothing to do with the physical body. It involves a resetting of principles. The outward man, the temporal, this is just a temporal tabernacle, the outward man can easily become at odds with what the inward man knows to be right. You say, why is that? Well, I mean, think about it. Was it God's will for Paul to preach? Sure. Did the outward man feel like being a preacher when he was being stoned and left for dead somewhere around Lystra and Derbe? What did he feel? No, the outward man would have been at odds with what the inward man said. The outward man might have said, hey, if this is how it's going to be, why don't you just quit and start making tents again and start making a living again and start doing this again? Why don't you do it that way? But there had to be a resetting of principles. Most of 2 Corinthians, as we've said up to this point, used to explain Paul's principle of ministry. He was meant to be a helper of their joy. It didn't matter if you beat him. It didn't matter if you stoned him. It didn't matter if you put him in prison. He knew what God had given him to do, and he had to renew that frequently, no doubt, but he did so and had strength in the inner man. Furthermore, Paul gave of himself because Jesus had given of himself. We read that earlier. It was no issue for Paul to bear in his body suffering. Why? Because his Savior had suffered on his behalf. When you think about what Jesus did for us on the cross and keep it in its proper place, it puts everything in our lives, else in our lives, in a whole different perspective, doesn't it? You say, well, I got made fun of by a coworker. Well, Jesus hung between heaven and earth in open shame on our behalf. You see, it required requires a resetting of principles, realizing this is what I'm living for. I'm not living for the approval of men, and I'm not living for the approval of popular opinion. In Paul's case, and I don't know what could happen, I'm not forecasting doom, but perhaps even in our case at some point, I'm not living for physical comfort where there could even be something physically that afflicts me. He said, no, I'm living for my Savior who suffered already for me. Amen. The inward man being renewed day by day would include a continual resetting of principles. Yesterday's hurt, in Paul's case, maybe a beating, yesterday's hurt would not dictate today's priorities. Think about how often Paul had to reset. Now, he was a unique guy. You can read it, and I can imagine Paul took care of it. But you can imagine how often Paul had to wake himself up and remind himself, you know what? This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And sometimes, and day by day is when the best time to do it. Sometimes that inner man needs to be strengthened by us kind of shaking ourselves and saying, you know what? This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. It might not be the most rewarding in the moment, but I realize that the labor of the harvest is well worth, the labor of the sowing is well worth the reward of the reaping. Renewing involves a resetting of principles. And then thirdly, renewing is empowered by the filling of the Holy Spirit. His goal was that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In verse number 10, that's what he says. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The way that the life of Jesus is made manifest through our mortal flesh is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. How does that happen? It happens through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The life of Jesus is lived through the believer via the power of the Holy Spirit. And the pattern is really laid out here for us, and it is repeated in other places. It requires that we are willing to first die to self. We die to self, and we yield to Him. And you know how that needs to happen? Day by day. Do you know how it happens? Do you know, I'll apply this to a Wednesday night crowd. Do you know how it can happen to us if we're not careful? From revival meeting to revival meeting. It can happen from September to September. We kind of get and we drift, and then we have a preacher come in special that reminds us of it and gets a hold of it. But you know when it should be, if we were to be our strongest, that unseen strength, it should be not year to year or not even month to month, but it should be day by day. Got to wake up tomorrow. Say, I want to be strong in the inner man. Wake up in the morning. Wake up in the tomorrow. Open up the scriptures and see what, by faith, God has for you from His word. Align yourself with the correct principles by which He desires for you to live. And then immediately crucify self and yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And say, Lord, I'm going to be filled with You today. And don't do it Sunday to Sunday evening. Don't do it Sunday to Wednesday. Do it day by day. Amen. So, people know the Christian church is weakened in our day. That doesn't mean we have to be weakened. Amen. So, we don't match the numbers of the world that is around us. That doesn't mean that we have to be weakened. Why? Because we have access to an unseen strength. Something that can make us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Paul would not have been an impressive person physically at this point, but he drew from an unseen strength, and it was that the inner man was strong. You might have come in here this evening smiling and shaking hands, but if the outside looked like the inner man did, I wonder what it would have been like. Has it been weakened? Does it need to be strengthened? If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, it can happen. Get back to His word, not just as ritual or routine, but read it by faith. Amen. Ask the Lord to help reset you to the principles that He has given you to live by, and then determine you're going to yield to Him and be filled with His Spirit, and just see how quickly He can strengthen that inner man. It's amazing it can happen quickly. You know, if someone came physically and said, I need to get in shape, that could be a year process, but you know what? What God can do in the inner man is a miraculous thing. It can happen in a moment. Amen. As we look to Him. Dear Lord, thank You for this day.